So it's been 3 weeks since we chatted. You have now had your first opening weekend of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged. James Percy, Matt Pearson, Joe Maudsley. You had two shows at the Lighthouse and Pool. You just finished your third performance at Norden Farm in Maidenhead. And your British accents are so convincing. They were fooled. They absolutely weren't sure whether you were British or American because your British accents are so good.
At this point, I'm not sure if I'm British or American, to be honest. I'm so confused.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 530, British Long Lost Opening. Our 50-city UK tour of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged kicked off last week with performances at the Lighthouse Theatre in Poole, Norden Farm in Maidenhead, and the Norwich Playhouse. I had to fly back to the States because I just began rehearsals for a production of Much Ado About Nothing. I'm directing at Pacific University in Oregon, so I wasn't able to see the triumphant performance last night in Norwich. So on my last night, I sat down with Matt Pearson, James Percy, and Joe Maudsley in the theater bar at Norden Farm to talk about the process of taking long-lost Shakes out of the rehearsal hall and onto the stage in front of an audience. So we've had three performances and only a handful of texts. There's a lot of words in this show. I'm not wrong about that.
Yeah, there's so many words. That's the question we get asked the most after the show is, oh my, how do you remember all those words?
I suppose
this is my first reduced show, but compared to the other reduced shows, is there more words in this one particularly?
Yeah, I think Matt and I can both confirm this is where way many more words.
Yeah, for sure. And there are chunks of Shakespeare in the Complete Works show, but nothing like this one, and no big long speeches really.
Except for the short sort of interjections by the RSC arguing about how we should do the play, most of the play is in iambic pentameter.
Yeah. And you should be putting that on the posters. Like, you're getting more bard for your buck right there.
That is more bard for your buck.
Right? That's really
get
good.
That on the poster.
Absolutely. That's very, very good. I like that. When we left you in rehearsal hall, you knew all the lines perfectly.
In my kitchen, I knew all the lines.
And then we throw costumes at you, and we throw...
Literally.
Yeah, we
literally throwing costumes at us.
We throw some lights at you, we throw some sound at you, and suddenly the lines go away. So you spent the first three performances struggling for lines a little bit. And I know how tough that is because I've done the exact same thing. It's hard, particularly in iambic pentameter, right?
Yeah.
You struggle for a line. If the line goes, you go, ah! How do I get back on this treadmill?
And also, it's hard because you'll start saying a line that's Shakespeare that you know it, but the end of the line, how it's written, is because you've got a different character in front of you. You end up with a different line to respond to the other character's play that is in. So you go, okay, I've got this. It's that famous Shakespeare line. And then the last bit just completely changes.
Yeah. Right, there's one word that's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had an interesting show last night.
This was really amusing. And we've talked about this phenomenon on the podcast before. The second night letdown.
You guys
opened. First performance was so strong in Poole. It was so great. And you had a really great, large, responsive audience. Great. And it's like, okay, we've rehearsed this show. We now know how to do this show once.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to do it twice because then second night letdown hit Matt Pearson in a big way.
Yeah. But the frustrating thing is you know it's coming. So you're like, okay, second night. It's going to be second night letdown. Down. What can I do to combat the second night letdown? So okay, I need to concentrate and do all my lines before the show. But you can't do anything about it.
Nothing.
It's just the way it is. The second night never lives up to the first night. Having said that, I thought it was still a pretty good audience, and they still had a great evening. So yeah.
They were a much better audience than you guys were.
but you mean that we deserve.
You yeah. deserve. Yes, exactly. But the thing was, as I've told you before, you guys get the big things. You get the important things. So when lines were messed up on that second night, and when people were applauding in places, it was a quiet crowd, but they were applausy. They applauded at weird things, and you guys really responded in a perfect way to all their random applauses, sometimes going, oh, you don't need to do that, or whatever your ad-libs mm-hmm. were. But you pulled off all the mistakes with such reduced aplomb, you absolutely got away with it.
Everybody's seen that it's gone wrong, so there's no way of hiding it. You just got to throw your hands up in the air and say, yeah, that happened, riff on it, come up with something, and then straight back into it again.
We're not fooling anybody. Yeah.
It's the advantage of having no fourth wall. You just talk to the audience and you say, yeah, I screwed up. Yeah. Last night, I was going to say, in the Richard III scene, I started doing bits of the speeches of the Now is the Winter of Our Discontent speech that aren't in our version. I started saying, I'm scarce half made up.
So you forgot the lines that we had included, but pulled in lines from that speech that we hadn't included. So that was a great cover.
Well, from way, way the back of my mind, because I don't know how I knew that line.
So your problem is you know the wrong Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know the wrong
bit. All the right Shakespeare quotes, but not necessarily in the right order.
Yeah.
Something
well,
like that.
That is the challenge. Well, and I don't think I've told this story on the podcast, but it seems like the perfect time to tell it now, is that, you know, just last weekend I was in Baltimore at the Shakespeare Theater Association performing Long Lost Shakes for that august body. And as I tweeted, I should retire now because we'll never get a better response than we got from that audience of Shakespeare nerds. And so I get out there as Richard III, and it's on a thrust, and I'm making my first entrance, and my first line is the famous, "Now is the winter of our discontent, may glory summer." I was thinking about, oh, right, I got to adjust my blocking. And then I was thinking in the back of my head, ooh, you know, Matt Pearson back in England, he does a funny thing. He does a really nice thing. I wonder if I can do that. No, I can't do that. Okay, it's time for me to say my line. Okay, now is the moment, the winter. And I just went, oh, fuck me. And I limped off stage. I just went, and Reed, we've made enough mistakes in the past to know that when you make a mistake that egregious, you just go off stage and you take that entrance again. And Reed went, let's take that again. Yeah. And he said, he started with the setup line, the introduction line, and then he said, don't worry, I don't think anybody noticed. And I stuck my thumb out from behind the drop, and then I came out again, and I entered, and I went, now is the winter of our discontent. And everybody afterwards went, did you guys plan that? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Keep it in.
Too perfect.
It is too perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm here to give you guys notes for screwing up all the time. But, I've been there.
What I like about that is that you got the line wrong, but you kept the limp when walking back off stage. Yeah. Well, I'm keeping the limp.
Oh, well, I'm committed. I shall not drop the character. No, not at all. Now, suddenly, I'm Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
But not as good as you, James Percy.
Oh, yes, I am Sir Ian McKellen.
I'm getting pretty good at it, right?
Oh, yeah.
There will be no Ian McKellen impressions on the night.
Tonight, I thought King Lear was especially McKellen-esque. I thought some of the strange kind of staccato delivery that he sometimes does.
It's almost Shatner-esque, in fact.
Yeah. Well, for me, Sir Ian is the ultimate King Lear, because he's the first Lear that I saw perform live. So when I have to play Lear, that's all I can get. I can't get it out of my head.
McKellen's your go-to Lear.
That's it.
No, I get that. I get that.
I am Guy Roberts from the Prague Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You can see us on two continents this week. Here in the U.S., we'll be performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Schimmel Center at Pace University in New York City, Saturday and Sunday night. And in the U.K., James, Matt, and Joe continue our 50-city tour of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, with performances in Preston, Chesterfield, Nottingham, Somerset, Chipping Norton, and Cheltenham. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader
our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
The other big bugaboo about this show is not only learning the lines, but the costumes. And so we'll get to the costume changes in a minute, but let's just talk about your trousers. This year will be 25 years. In 25 years of being with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, I've never encountered the problem with acquiring trousers as we've had in this. The first set of trousers were just, the guy came in and said, well, can you do these, can you just wear these jogging sweatpants? You know, we'll hitch them up. No, we need real pants made out of real material. So they found a new person, and that new person made pants out of what was the sleeping bag material?
It was like waterproof, like tent material. Like you would go camping in this stuff.
It was PVC. It looked like your Matt Pearson. Your black trousers looked like black garbage bags, bin bags.
Yeah, bin bags. Yeah, they were not particularly good quality bin bags either.
But they were waterproof.
Yeah, I think the problem was that the person asked you, do you need them to be waterproof? And you went, doesn't really matter, but sure.
Yeah.
And she took that as the most important element.
Yeah. Why would you go, really? Is this the material you want?
Yeah.
So on top of that, the pockets were backwards.
The pockets on the new the new trousers that I just wore tonight are also backwards.
Yeah. Trousers and Mark III on now.
We're on the third pair of trousers.
Maybe it's a British thing. Maybe. All British trousers have
backwards pockets.
That's right. No, you can't call them pants because the Brits call pants is underwear for the Brits.
Oh, sure. Okay, so maybe pants have forwards pockets and trousers have backwards pockets. Maybe that's the difference.
Do the British people have pockets in their underpants?
They're called Y fronts somehow. It's, which is, sounds very like a flux capacitor. That's what I picture with a Y front. So we seem to have your trousers licked, if you'll pardon the expression. But so they look good now, and the pockets kind of work. Jess. A shout out to Jessica Rice, our ASM, our DSM here. She is the British Ally Bostet. She is the wardrobe goddess here in Britain. She has fixed all of these costumes. She has redone the pockets, right, to make them forwards.
Mm-hmm.
She has come up with all these fantastic props. She is the savior of this production.
I don't think she slept since we started teching until now, because I don't know how there have been enough hours in the day to do all the work that she's done. It's been amazing.
Part of me thinks we should take Shakespeare's face off the front of the playbills and put Jessica's face on the front.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
With the Groucho glasses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And Bard for your buck.
Yeah.
More Bard for your buck. So she's been the savior. But so now you're having these costumes thrown at you, and some of them are sticking because they're made out of this weird material. But you go off stage and you have these changes. And it was the thing we didn't get to do in rehearsal, and then I wanted to get it done in rehearsal. We didn't get to do it, which is that you learn your offstage blocking as well as you learn your onstage blocking. We didn't get to do that. So how are you guys solving that? How are you guys figuring this out now?
It's you just got to keep repeating it until it becomes muscle memory. You just got to keep going through it, keep doing it. And going back to Jess, like, you run off stage, you're like, what's next? I don't know what's next. She'll be like, okay, so this character, put this one on.
She's so calm.
And she's such a calming person to have back there to go, okay, put this on. She'll help us put it on. We jump straight on. But it's just the more we do it, the more comfortable we become with it.
I'm still at the stage where even if I've just said on stage the name of the next character that I'm playing, like, fetch you Richard, the Duke thou showed me once, it should be, oh, I play Richard III, so that must be my next character. I still then walk off stage and go, what's next?
Yeah. And I wish I could disparage you about that, but I do the exact same thing.
And Jess has ingenious ways of making these costume changes work. Like, I have to change into Puck, countless times throughout the show, and Puck obviously has horns on his head. And The only way it works is if Jess is dressed as Puck when I walk backstage. She's wearing Puck's horns, and I grab them from her head and put them on mine. It's ingenious.
Whatever works. Whatever works. But getting back to the second night letdown and how
must
well
we?
No, fair enough. Awesome. But you guys you know, mistakes happen in every show. You just happen to make all the mistakes in that one particular show. But you roll with it and you dealt with it so well. Matt, that's obviously something we do in the RSC shows, and have done. But Joe and James, you have been doing Potted Potter for a couple of years, which I've never seen. And is that a thing, too, where you're always constantly kind of futzing with the audience?
There's not a fourth wall in our show. Which is great. I mean, it means that the audience is so much more involved, and they really are the next character in the show, and they play such an important part that if mistakes are made, you've got to include them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you're doing it really well, because you also did you bring people up on stage in Potter Potter?
Yeah,
you do. Okay.
Yeah, I mean we brought children up on stage in Potter, so this is new, bringing adults up on stage.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine children are a lot more keen to get on that stage than
true, very
adults.
True.
And they're also not at all keen to get off the stage.
Yeah.
Which meant we just carried on forever.
Yeah. Get out of here, you little shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, here you only have two people in this show. James and Joe bring up the people. Matt, you and I get out of that.
Yes.
But I don't think you've had problems getting a Dale or a Gale up there.
No, not at all. No, I think it's the force that James asks them to come up on stage.
Yeah.
They have no choice whether they do or not.
That's in the script that we tell them. Oh, yeah. They'll be coming up here in a few.
Yeah, and that's one of the Gary.
Gary Fannin, who's
Gary Fannin,
been in many of our shows.
Garlanded RSC alumni. That's what he taught me. He said, don't give them a choice. You're playing the ego. You're playing, you know, you just don't give them the option. And if they won't stand up, then you, without resulting in a lawsuit, you grab them and try and get them to leave their seat. And usually they give in.
Well, and tonight's audience, this kind of, for us, relatively quieter audience in Norton Farm, they were applauding Dale and Gale to get up on stage. They were encouraging them with their applause to come up.
Which is another trick, that if somebody's really reluctant to get up, then you say, come on, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to see him on stage?
Yeah.
And then that usually
it's just peer pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Complete
exactly.
Peer pressure.
Yeah. It's basically benign bullying.
But also, British people are so polite here, they'll get up. They'll just do it.
Like Canadians, but more so.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your quick change tips via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to Trouser Master Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Mike Woods. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Guy Roberts, the artistic director of Prague Shakespeare Company. They've recently opened their own production of Long Lost Shakes, directed by our old friend Jennifer King of Shakespeare Napa Valley. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1590th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. You've done your first three performances. There's only 47 left to go.
Wow.
Is that how many there are?
It's a 51 performance, 50 city tour.
I love the way you say 50 city tour, as if Maidenhead is a city. It's awesome.
Right. Well, I city is a very generous definition. It's better than saying 40 cities, a couple of villages, and some wide places in the road.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.